Kelman on CliffCentral.com.
So, of course, you can touch base with the Unplugged and In Charge every Thursday for a full hour. On Tuesdays, we decide to take charge. The crew that makes up Unplugged and In Charge is Simpiwe, it's Lesecho, it's Weza, and it's Vaughn. Now, Vaughn is a regular on this show, and Vaughn, he drops bombs, yo. I need to set the tone for today's Take Charge replaying the bombs that Vaughn dropped on yesterday's Spoken Hustle. Mm. This was your friend yesterday.
Mm. I have, today I resigned.
Oh, wow.
What?
Yeah. What? Bars.
Jeez.
I resigned.
You ain't about this life.
And you've been debating this for a couple of weeks.
I have, bro. I have. And that's sort of why I want to talk about, you know, the topic of being confused. Being young is confusing, but confusion shouldn't paralyze you.
Just say it one more time. What did you do today?
I resigned. Yeah, bro.
Yeah.
I changed my job.
Huh.
Yeah.
So, your colleague has set the bar high. What bombs are you dropping you
so
to today?
So, can I just say, I think Vaughn followed after me because I think it's 3 months now, 4 months that I have, since I've resigned from work. And
you have to change that show to Unemployed and In Charge.
Yeah, no. You know, this is the first time I hear this, and I have, like, I'm going to speak to Vaughn after the show now.
Like, we're FaceTiming him like a minute ago. He doesn't even tell us.
Oh my gosh, those are bars and bombs and all kinds of things. Like,
so you know you gotta take it to the next level every day. What massive announcements do the two of you have?
No. Yeah,
there's no choice. I have to be president now. There's nothing else you can do after that.
Like, I'm still, like, trying to let this sink in. Like, it's just a shock to the system. You know, he's been talking about this.
Yeah.
But I didn't think he was going to do it, like, so soon. Like,
do you know what I said to him yesterday? Is that usually I found in my 26 years of experience on planet Earth is that when someone's, like, a little hesitant on something, specifically when it comes to jobs, like, when they're a little unsure should they stay or should they go, they're usually in the next coming weeks or months that follow, they go.
Yeah.
It's about damn time.
It's like when you plant a seed of doubt, like, you'll sort of meander with it for a couple of months. You'll think, should I, shouldn't I? But eventually there'll come a point where, you know, you'll just say, cool, peace out, it's been real.
I'm out.
Specifically in a millennial context.
Yeah, no, definitely. That's what I was going to say. I think with millennials, it really is something like that. I mean, Lesecho, within a year or two, is going to be like, I've left the bank. Oh, it's about damn time. It's about damn time.
It's like when you're dating like a really hot chick and like they get over you, you know? And then they're sort of like, oh, let me just stick around with Aria for now. And they're like, whatever. Oh, God.
Peace out. It's been real.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is the thing. You know, there's so much money that's going into at the moment retaining millennials in a workplace.
Yeah.
Like, because they come in and they leave like a few months later or like a year or two later because there's just this massive generational gap that they can't seem to get right in big institutions.
And in Africa, I mean, we've got the youngest population in the world.
Mm.
So already there's a huge gap over there. And
companies
are, they're still trying to prepare for millennials. Don't. We're already here.
We've arrived.
It's too late.
It's over.
They were never ready.
So, no major announcements from either of you?
Not yet.
Nothing.
Coming soon.
Okay.
Hey, listen, my major announcement, I might just start shaving today.
Oh my gosh.
That's only because I got a free shave.
I don't want to talk about the shaver thing because it's actually quite awkward because, you know, like, I've got, like, no facial hair.
Yeah.
But I'm just going to shave in faith. I'm just going to shave in faith, and within a month or so, you'll have
some facial hair.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're talking shaving all week next week, but we'll cross that bridge when we get there.
Yeah.
It's going to be dope, though. Listen, you've got to be in a relationship with your beard.
Yeah, man.
And you've got to make it work.
I'm preparing for Movember. Like, that's what I'm doing. I've got goals for Movember.
Starting to grow now. But very quickly, Producer Cat, while we wrap up this conversation on shaving, you like a bit of a grizzle, huh?
On a man?
Yeah.
No, on a woman.
I mean, it depends. Some guys know how to rock it, some guys don't.
Okay, but like, you don't want it to feel like a baby's bottom.
Scrot, you want me to get like cut while I'm kissing you?
No, you don't want it to be like, okay.
Listen,
it's getting complicated. Let's take this to next week.
Yeah, we'll take this to next week. Next week is yay shaving
week. I'm just saying, not all guys can rock the beard. Like,
yeah.
Teebs looks good in a beard. Like, Ricky Rick looks nice in a beard. Other people, you know.
Not so much.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll touch base with that next week as we celebrate shaving all week long. Okay, cool. Today we are taking charge. This is an interesting one. taking charge in understanding each other's different languages and cultures.
Mm-hmm.
Where are we at? What's the big issue on the table?
Okay, so the big issue is that it's Youth Month, first and foremost. And 40 years ago, there were a group of students that fought for the fact that their language of instruction was an issue. They were being taught in Afrikaans. Why are we still seeming to be fighting the same fight? I mean, a couple of months ago, we had the same issue at the universities and all of that. And, you know, I think I'm actually sick and tired of people fighting and complaining about certain things. I think it's about damn time you take charge on understanding other people and understanding that we're in South Africa. This is the Rainbow Nation. There are 11 official languages. And if you only know your language and maybe one other, then that's a problem because it's not even, what is that? Is that even 20%? It's not even 20% or something. Like, it's crazy. It's
definitely not SABC standards.
It's not SABC standards. damn straight. So I think it's time to take charge of understanding each other and understanding the different languages that we speak within our country and understanding our cultures, because the only way we will solve the problems that we're facing is when we get to understand each other and come together. So that's what we're talking about today, because it's I was sick and tired of what was happening three or four months ago at the University of Pretoria. And I mean, I got together with a couple of friends and we started a campaign called the Language Challenge, where we were telling people, or we started a campaign where people had to say, I love you, in a different language from theirs. And you know, something as simple as that might not solve the problems that we're facing, but it sparks something in understanding a different person. And what I got from that was that a lot of people can complain. It's easy to complain, but what are you doing about the problems that we're facing? I'm not saying that the things that we're doing out here are going to solve the entire problems, but at least we're doing something. We're taking charge of trying to build a nation and unite our nation. And it's about damn time you take charge as well in understanding and building this nation, because the future of our nation is in your hands. You are the youth of South Africa, and it's time to stand up as the youth of South Africa and take charge and build this nation.
Drop my phone. Drop my water bottle.
Drop your shaver.
Drop my shaver. Bars.
Damn straight, man.
Tell them, dog.
Yeah. I mean, we've taken charge now.
Yeah, man. Yo, it's actually quite frustrating, because I mean, like, let's talk about this thing of Afrikaans. You know, I was talking to a couple of people that I met last week. These Afrikaans guys. I spent some time with them, and I was just asking them, what is their opinion on this whole language policy at the universities and all of that? They were like, the one guy is really proud that he's Afrikaans. And I'm like, I respect the fact that you're proud of Afrikaans, but what do you feel about it? And he's like, you know what? I understand the fact that we need to accommodate each other, which is something that's very important. You can't have university budget that is catered, like half the university, was it something like half university budget is catered to Afrikaans?
Yeah.
And jeez, where's this? At
An example is the University of Pretoria, yeah, because that's where we're from. And
when you were studying at University of Pretoria, is it half Afrikaans, half, how does it work?
Yeah, so yeah, the first 2 years it's half Afrikaans and half English, and you'll find that the Afrikaans class is so small. The Afrikaans class makes about 20%.
So it's the same lecture, but in English and in Afrikaans.
It's different lecturers sometimes as well. Okay. So sometimes it's the same lecturer who'll teach the Afrikaans class and then teach the English class. But what you find is that the Afrikaans class is favored because the smaller class, you got more time for attention, and the teacher will drop those little hints in the test. What I did, and what Lesego and I did actually, was we were very strategic. We made friends with one or two Afrikaans guys. And before, like a day or two before the test, I would talk to Marnus or Johan or whoever. And we'd ask him, bro, what's in the test? And he'd tell me, like, this is what's going to happen. This is what the lecturer told us. And the lecturer never told us anything. So there's an injustice, I feel, when it comes to the separation of languages. And I think one of the major problems that we need to address, and the first and foremost, is that this isn't a racial thing. Let's take race out of the equation. Because if we're always going to focus on race, then we're never going to move forward. We're never going to move forward as South Africa.
It's, you know, language is something that is so personal to everybody. I mean, I grew up speaking English, but I'm Jewish as well. I'm terrible at Hebrew. In school, I'd learned Afrikaans.
Yeah.
That would be my second language, I guess. But I actually don't think that it's that difficult to learn to not, you know, speak another language perfectly, but to begin to kind of sort of understand another language.
Yeah.
Like we were playing that Ricky Rick song, Sidlukotin. So I know that cover means like look at, or like unamanga means to lie.
Yeah.
So like you can pick up like little words.
Yeah.
And I think that in a South African context, unless you really don't want to understand what someone else is saying, in any space that you're in, provided you are with a varied, different you know, group of South Africans, I don't think it's that difficult to just begin to understand a little, like a tiny bit. I'd never be able to carry a full conversation.
Yeah.
But like I can understand a bit of tone and you pick up on certain words.
And standing up for each other. I mean, once you, I think the problem is if you isolate yourself, that's the only way you won't be able to catch on to those things.
You just need to make sure that, you know, for some languages, you're watching Generations. For some, you're watching Seven Dolan. For Vende, you're watching Mubango.
Yeah.
Like, you just got to vary your television that you watch.
Exactly. I mean, I remember, I mean, I'm first language is Xhosa. My home language is Xhosa. But I went to school English all the way, and my second language at school was Afrikaans. I didn't want to do Sepedi or something like that because I wanted to understand Afrikaans, which is something that's completely different. And it's a completely different culture once you understand the language.
Mm.
Can I interject you?
Yeah.
Sorry. So I think the issue is it's all good and dandy to know your own language and another language and tolerate people. It becomes an issue when you're an Afrikaans student and you've only interacted with other Afrikaans students from grade one right up until PhD level.
So where does the problem start?
The problem starts that when we say you institutionalize the wrong type of governance, right? You cannot expect a country to have to be cohesive and to be able to work together, and yet from an educational viewpoint, you've already separated them.
Yeah.
So I agree that, listen, primary school, perhaps even high school, learn in your mother tongue. That makes sense. Go for it. Be comfortable.
Yeah.
But once you get to a university level where you're pretty much you're competing on an international standard,
yeah.
right? Because when you do business, no matter where you are in the world, you have to be in English so everybody can understand. For me, it doesn't make sense to have Afrikaans universities.
Yeah.
And especially if it's in Africa. It's like,
so you would put the resources into English?
Yeah, so that everybody has access to them. Because now you have a university where half the budget is gone for a population that's less than 10%.
Mm. Yeah.
And you tell me that doesn't seem like favoritism. It doesn't. Yeah. Obviously, people are going to get touched. And for me, it's you know what, a bit
English
more
is the most far removed
it is
language in a South African context. Though there is no resonance with English in terms of South Africa's history.
Yeah,
it's a negative. It's actually a really negative language.
Yeah,
it's like it's because all of that.
If we were going to go according to stats and the majority, all universities would be in Zulu.
Yeah.
And we're not saying that. We're just saying meet people.
But
in the middle.
Would it be bad if that was the case?
Listen, I'm Zulu. I don't want to study engineering in Zulu.
I think it's a problem.
So English as the global business language
is
the only language of instruction.
Yes, it's the most used second language in the world.
Hmm.
And we need to realize that. I mean, once you leave
Chinese is the most used language.
Yeah,
right?
Used first language
Mandarin.
Is Mandarin. Yeah.
Mandarin.
Yeah.
So if we're talking about
is Chinese a language? No,
no, it's Mandarin.
Kat, I had another moment. That was similar to when I asked if the seasons all stay the same order every year.
All right.
Sorry, Mandarin.
So yeah, man, I think we need to realize that if we're going to compete on an international stage, English is the language that we're going to use no matter what. And we need to do that from a young age. Like, I believe varsity, like, I agree with Lesego, from varsity, why are we wasting time separating languages? If there's Afrikaans, then there should be a Zulu class, a Sepedi class, a Xhosa class, every kind of class. But then we're wasting money.
So how do we, if we're putting a lot of energy into English, still put energy into our South African languages?
You see, that for me, that it's a basic again. In South Africa, I don't know why, but we're very good at desensitizing. Sorry. We're very good at desensitizing.
Okay, bro, I know it's a heavy issue.
We're very good at desensitizing ourselves from our own history.
Yeah.
So, I mean, forget about language. American historian knows more about South African history than you do, than any of us in this room do.
Yeah.
We don't know our history, let alone our language. Home language is home language. It's taught to you at home. It's your mother tongue. It's cool. Interact with other people, know other languages. But when it comes to an academic viewpoint, let's all be equal inverted commas and let's all learn in that space. But when it comes to a home language, literally from a primary school, why is it only English and Afrikaans?
Yeah.
Why?
That doesn't make sense.
That doesn't make sense. I mean, the largest majority in the country is Zulu.
And then it's Xhosa and then it's Afrikaans.
Like, so why is it only English and Afrikaans still now? And I think in true South African fashion, the only way this thing will change is once it's hit a boiling point and people have gone on strike and things have broken because that's how government works.
But why does it have to get to then?
Because leadership. Don't worry, bro. I'm president.
So you see, it's a leadership problem. That's what I want to say. Like, I think the fundamental issue is a leadership issue. And we as the youth need to stand up and realize that if the leaders of today are not taking charge, we got to take charge. We got to stand up. We got to do what we can with what we have right now.
So to an Afrikaans student who says to you guys, but listen, like, I don't, like, why would you want to drop Afrikaans? How is it affecting you? And who's kind of taking it in a very personal, you just don't like Afrikaans.
I'd say you're ignorant.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd say you're ignorant.
Pure ignorance.
And secondly, fees hasn't fallen. Why are we accommodating so many languages if fees hasn't fallen? If we take one language away, we invest into one language, half the budget is there. We don't even need to invest the whole budget into English. We can structure the budget in such a way that we cater to other issues. Okay. Fees hasn't fallen, guys. Let's be serious, man.
In a youth month context, as a young South African, whether you are Afrikaans, Zulu, Venda, whatever you are, I mean, this month, when it comes to having a conversation with who you are, what your identity is, what you should be aspiring towards, what role you play in your country, that conversation should sound like what?
That's a deep question, eh? And it's something that I've been working on with Mike Flex and Pashida. Actually, we're working on a project. What does June 16 mean? Because today, June 16, it seems like a political affair or it's a turn up. That's not what June 16 is all about. We need to go back and realize that June 16 was the youth of South Africa fighting for the future. And South Africa today, we need to come together. We are South Africans. And no matter what culture, no matter what skin color you are, you need to look beyond that and start focusing on the future. So I think the whole conversation needs to be really focused on unity and what can we do together to build the future and make South Africa what it's supposed to be.
From my side, the conversation should go according to how do we literally start instilling a bit more tolerance of each other? Just a little bit more tolerance because we're missing that a lot. And also when it comes to when we say the young generation, we say millennials, we shouldn't be talking about it as though we're all in high school and university. We're not.
No, we're not.
We're in corporate. We're in government. We're here now. We've arrived.
Yeah, everyone's screwed, bro. We've arrived.
So literally, if it means burn down the the building block, burn it down.
Unleash that millennial mayhem.
Yes.
Bro. Oh, no.
I think the biggest thing is that we need unity, bro. Like, with tolerance and all of that, it comes with unity. Together we can do more. It's cliche.
I think everyone's
sad.
Really defensive as well. And I get it. I understand. I can understand why people are defensive. And the problem with being defensive is that you actually become illogical.
Yeah.
And you start inventing things that, you know, aren't there. And you can't be objective when you're being defensive.
It's actually a victim mentality. And what we need to realize and what you need to realize today is that it's not about you. If we're talking about leadership, leadership will never be about you. And if you want to be a leader in this country, you need to get over yourself firstly and realize that you're serving the nation and serving those around you. So let's get over this victim mentality. And you can't be defensive the whole time. It's not about you. It's about this country and the future. Where are we going? That's what we need to answer.
Sure, it's heavy, Oaks.
It's a very heavy topic.
Every single Tuesday without fail.
Take charge. It gets heavy. I wonder what's going to happen in this university context with language of instruction.
Listen, I think it's a beautiful time to be alive.
It is.
I think things are going to change fundamentally.
Yeah.
And I think people look in universities and they're like, ooh, oh, look what's happening there. Those guys are leaving universities and they're going into corporate. So forget that. Imagine what the government's going to be in like 5 years time. Imagine what banks are going to be like in 5 years time.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, well, there is research that says that, older generations are going to land up looking more like millennials and Generation Z, which is the generation that comes after millennials, simply because, you know, this idea of internet and digital and everything, it's being forced onto the other generations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So whether you like it or not, you're going to land up looking more like millennials than they look like you.
Yeah.
It's a whole lot.
We're influencing, man.
Yeah, we're influencing. Yeah. If I'm teaching you how to use your iPad so that you can do your job.
Yeah.
And you're in your 40s and your 50s, but without my help on that iPad, you can't do your job properly.
It's real.
Yeah.
It means I got the power.
Yeah.
Recognize. You just took charge.
It's late. The realist.
There you go. I'm running this thing.
Yeah.
All right. How do we keep up with you two all day?
All day, every day on Twitter. I'm at Simpiwe Petros on social media, Instagram, Twitter, even Snapchat, but I'm not that active on Snapchat. Hey, Snapchat, it's lit. It's lit, but it's a funny type of thing, man. Yo, it's weird.
Gotta get in there, bro.
Let's go. Mapanga everywhere except Twitter. That's LSG_Mapanga.
Power. These guys hang out with you every Thursday between 12 and 1. Of course, Vaughan and Weza step into that studio as well on a Thursday. Kelman on CliffCentral.com.